Blog Talk Radio.
Here he comes right now. Yo, 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 what's up, what's up, what's up? You rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee? Yes, you are rocking Four Quarters with me, the host with the most, Coach Lee, in the place to be on a Monday night, as usual. Wow. Oh, yeah, we got some good stuff tonight. We got some great things going on. You know, like I said, this is the hippest, the hoppiest, the bestest, I just be making up words sometimes, show, because what we talk about is women's football. And it relates to all football. If you listen to some of the shows in the past, and then you go to college football, you see some similarities. If you go to the pro football level, you see some similarities. I talk about it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly, here on Four Quarters with Coach Lee. Yes, 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 y'all. I'm going to be rocking it tonight, y'all. And I got some good topics tonight. You know, some as recent as just like 20 minutes ago. That I came across on the kneeling board to the football camp and conference, which is, oh, you guys better get up on it. It's going to be exciting. I should be breaking the news after the USL championship game this Friday. I'll be talking with the commissioner and the CEO of the league to try to tie them in into a deal with the women's football camp and conference and dealing with a lot of ex-NFL coaches to provide, you know, training for you ladies out there. And then also for the coaches out there doing coaches camps and stuff like that. So it's all to the good. Everything went good? Everything went good? Yeah, so, yeah, I got some things lined up, got some good things going on. And like I said, you know, some good news. Some news that's finally validated that we'll talk about this evening. And, you know, like I said, we're moving on. We're rocking and jocking, as we call it. Here, Four Quarters with Coach Lee, that's me and the place to be. So let me go on and drop my sponsors before we get this bad boy started. You know what I'm saying? We got Adidas. My Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. We all should be rocking Adidas. We got Rogers Athletic Company, the official equipment company for the Women's Football Camp and Conference, where they're good. Get better. And we got Enterprise. Why pick Enterprise? Because they will pick you up. You know, when your car breaks down, you get in an accident, or if your car catches on fire like mine did 2 weeks ago, guess who I called? Enterprise. Why? Because they picked me up. Even though my car was smoking and on fire and melted down, for those who got Facebook, just go to my page. You'll see my car on fire over there. I got some video footage, but I haven't put it up yet because one of my coworkers had filmed it. But anyway, let's get this party started and kick it off like we always do. It's a deep kick. That's the only time I can come up with it. Sound like somebody kicking the heck out of a ball. But you know how we do that. We kick it deep because we want to start the game off with the team on the other side of the field. Kick it out the end zone if we all possible. If not, we want to stop them within the 20-yard line. And the whole special teams will get the little stickers on the helmet for doing that, or get the little perks, or the Captain Crunch, or whatever we've given away. And as my favorite JK likes to hear, let's move on to quarter number one. Yes, that's how I do it. I do it just like that, quarter number one. Let's talk about the WFA. WFA, we just got word last week. Just got word last week. Oh, I want some red vines, at least two. Oh, I can have the whole bag? Man, you guys are wonderful. You guys are going to have a good meeting. All right, I'll see you guys. All righty. Yeah, but quarter number one, we're talking about the WFA with its recent expansion up to 64 teams. Again, it's definitely given us an opportunity to put all teams under one roof. The so-called best, as I call it, you know, it's like I said, from year to year, each team fluctuates. You know, any team lose two or three key players on the team, it's just an average team. Hell, I just lost 35 players off my team, starting fresh and new. So we're not going to be the showgirls of old showgirls, but we still going to put out and do what we do because they got a good coach. You know, that's me. That's why I'm talking on this show right now. But, you know, it looks good. The landscape looks good. It's satisfying some of the travel needs for a lot of the teams. An additional 9 teams came in from different leagues or the IWFL and couldn't get what they had going. And like I said, it was a great attempt to try to induce and expose women's football to the masses. But, you know, again, finances is what kills everything. You know, travel kills everything. And I talk about that all the time on this show, about making sure that, you know, we got to play teams within a closer range and closer area. So it didn't work out for the particular 9 teams and the other 5 or 6 teams that was asked to play in that league. But like I said, you know, WFA welcomed them with open arms. I personally like to think that the teams that where we had teams to allow the teams to come in, because it only makes sense, you guys. You know, you hear me preaching each and every week. If the team already exists, there's no need to bitch and fuss about it. Just play each other. They're going to be here anyway. And that's been my stand since day one. No different again. Like I said, there's a new team in town. Hell, I got 2 teams in town, the Legacy, Silver State Legacy, and the Nevada Heat. You know, if they exist, they exist. The fact is, again, you just got to go out there and get more bodies for your team. And that's what's taking place. And we let all the mouth and all that other stuff take its battle course on the football field. But with the new teams coming in, it definitely made some great matchups. I'm trying to pull some things up real quick. It definitely brought up some great matchups of teams. I mean, you got the Dallas Diamonds and the Lone Star Mustangs in the same conference, as well as, hold on one second, I'm trying to pull this up. And, you know, like I said, I give it to you first. I ain't going to give you, it's not official, but I'll give you some thinking of what the league is thinking about as far as, you know, placing teams and what divisions and stuff like that. There's a big argument out there about, you know, we should go to a tier system and all of other stuff. And like I said, you guys, the difference between one team and another team is really coaching. It's not anything else but, you know, it's coaching. We all work from the same talent pool. We all have the same lack of experienced players. But it's the best coaching staff have gotten teams to be as good as they are. If you look at the so-called elite or top organizations, the winning organizations over the last 5 years, from top to bottom, they got it going on. That's the bottom line. Winners attract winners, and that's what takes place. But I do have, you know, some, I can do some kind of breakdown so that people can understand, you know, where things are going with the situation as far as who's playing where. I'm not going to give you dates and times of who's playing when, only because it's not official yet. But I think that the actual divisions will be definitely something to that won't be changing. So let's talk about that. All right. Right now, the WFA is broken down into six regions and 16 total divisions, meaning that there's going to be anywhere between three teams to four teams in each division. Actually, three teams to five teams in each division. I think it's maxing out at five. That way, if you got five in one division, you play each other, you know, twice. That's eight games. So that makes sense, okay? In Division One. And again, these aren't levels, these aren't tiers, these are just areas or regions, okay? This makes it easier to give it a name, Division 1 through Division 16 right now. But we do have, you know, Southwest, Southeast names for those particular divisions, okay? So if I just break it down like this, in Division 1, you got Northeastern Nitro, you got the New England Nightmare, and you got the Southern Tier Spitfire. Okay, in Division Two, you got the Boston Militia, you got the New York Sharks, and you got the Philadelphia Liberty Bells. All right, let me see, what else? Two. In Division Three, you got the Keystone Assault, the Baltimore Crush, and the DC Divas. So that encompasses all of Region Number One. So you got nine teams, three divisions in one region. And again, it's similar to what was put out there earlier. You know, we have to play the games regionally to keep costs down. And if you're the best in your region, then you can move on to the playoffs. Okay? Division four. I don't think so. Is she either in Sharon's office or outside in the front? Sorry about that, but yeah, this is live. Y'all know I'm live. I'm all the way live each and every Monday night, so you might hear some breaking in between here. All right, in Division Four, there's five teams. You got the Cleveland Fusion, you got the Columbus Comets, you got the Pittsburgh Passion, Pittsburgh Force, and the Erie Illusion. Okay, in Division Five, you have three teams. You got the St. Louis Slam, Chicago Force, and the West Michigan Mayhem. In Division Six, A, that's right, it's actually 18 divisions that I recall. But in the 6A division, you got the Indiana Crash, which was formerly known as the Indiana Speed, similar to Prince going over to Warner Brothers and changing his name to the Symbol. You got the Kentucky Karma and the Cincinnati Sizzle. In Division 6B, you got the Toledo Rain, the Dayton Diamonds, and the Detroit Dark Angels. In Division 7, you got the Carolina Raging Wolves, the Atlanta Heartbreakers, and the Savannah Cybercats. No. She got my keys. She got the keys to here? Go look out front. Are they in the game room? Sorry about that. Okay, let me see something real quick. Hold on 1 second. Nobody's outside? Nobody's in the stairs? How'd you get your keys? All right. So those are divisions so far broken down. I just jumped out in front of the computer real quick. I'm just looking for somebody. But again, there's going to be some interesting matchups. Regional areas are going to be matched up real nice, and it's all about competing, you guys. That's what it's been about. That's what it's all about, is competing, and that's what everybody's been wanting. I know I've been around women's football for... Nobody's down here. You got Sharon's number? Yeah, so we're going to be competing. Competing hard. And like I said, the cream will rise to the top. And nobody's in her office? Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry about that, y'all, but that's just what happens when you run the center and people bone out and let some people borrow keys. But anyway, I got my keys. You better have your keys. I ain't getting fired. But anyway, I'm running back to the computer right now. Running back. All right. In Division 8A, you got the Gulf Coast Riptide. You got the Jacksonville Dixie Blues and the Central Florida Anarchy. In Division 8B, you got the Tampa Bay Pirates, the Miami. It just says Miami, but I'm assuming that might be the Miami Fury. I don't know. People have been asking them, you know. They showed up missing. And they might be changing their name. Who knows? But it just says Miami. And then you got Palm Beach. Okay? And that will be the National Conference. That will be the National Conference, three regions, National Conference. In the American Conference, starting with Division 9, you got the KC Spartans. You got the Iowa Explosion. You got the KC Tribe. In Division 10, you got the Minnesota Machine. You got the Wisconsin Wolves, Wisconsin Dragons, and the Nebraska Stampede. In Division 11, you got the Lone Star Mustangs, the Austin Outlaws, the Houston Power, the Sun City team out of El Paso, Texas. And you got the Dallas Diamonds. Uh-oh, so they must have found a hold on 1 second. So that should be a good one.
1, 2, 3, now! Where'd you guys put it, back?
Damn. Okay. All right, we got our keys now. I'm back. All right. My staff got her keys. She's happy. She ain't freaking out anymore. But, yeah, that Texas region is looking real nice. The El Paso team were the El Paso Spartans a while back when I talked to them. And I think they're changing their name because it's already a Spartans team. So I think they're going to be called the El Paso Sun Devils was one of the teams that they had, one of the names they had came up with. And I'm pretty excited about that, El Paso Sun Devils. Yes, BJ, I hear you. I feel you. All right, moving right along, like I said. So I'm on the Ning board. Those who want to talk to me, whatever, have a message for me, just go over to Ning board. That's Women's Tackle Football Group. Ning.com. The chat room is always open. Real exciting, real cool. All right, so where did I leave off at? Here we go. I left off with Region 12 would be the Tulsa Eagles, the Memphis Soul, the Little Rock Wildcats, the New Orleans Blaze, and the Acadia Zydeco. I like that, Acadia Zydeco. Okay. In Division 13, which would be Region 6 now, we got the Portland Fighting Phillies, the Spokane Scorn, we got the Utah Blitz, and the Seattle Warbirds. Yes, some familiar names coming back into the formula of football, so that's going to be hot. That's going to be great. Let's see. Division 14, we got the Central Cal War Angels, the Bay Area Bandits, and the Tri-County Taboo. I thought it was Tri-City, but I guess it's Tri-County. I think it's three counties lined up right there, and they're going to be the Taboo. So that's going to be pretty cool. Then in Division 15, you got the Los Angeles Amazons, the Pacific Warriors, the Las Vegas Showgirls, and the San Diego Surge. I'm pretty proud of being in that particular division because I get to the bump heads with the old Nemes, Aubrey Duncan with the LA Amazons. Been a long time in coming for us to get back on the field and play each other. That used to be our rival. Now our rival is the Pacific Warriors. Now we'll be in the same division. And then the San Diego Surge, new team out of San Diego, but not so new as football players, just new organization. And then in Division 16, you got the Silver State Legacy, the San Diego Steam, the SoCal Scorpions, and the Arizona Assassins. So as you guys can see, people, it is there's going to be some barn burners. Going to be some great hard-hitting games just based off of just putting in the region. You know, again, you know, I've had a couple, I wouldn't say arguments, but disagreements on the name board. You know, about having tiers and all this other stuff. You know, like I said, I'm an advocate of, you know what, we all learn the same game. We all have the same amount of players, predominantly between 23 to 45. You know, it's all about coaching because all the ladies that come play don't have experience playing the game. And I keep pushing that, you know. Yes, 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 Coach Lunacek, it's definitely going to be brutal. Divisions are going to be brutal. And guess what? Only one team per division, as of today, will be making the playoffs. Right now we have a 16-team playoff bracket. You know, I'm one who thinks 32 teams will be great. That way all division winners will have a home game. And just to give you an example of what, you know, what I'm looking at, what I would like to see, and like I said, this is all personal. It's not reflective of the league or anything else. But personally, for instance, let's go with my division. We have four divisions, and it should be eight teams that come out of that region. And what I'm looking at is because Division 13, Division 14 teams are in close proximity, you know, Division 1 winner will play Division 2, the runner-up from Division 14. You know what I'm saying? So Division 13, number 1, will play Division number 14, number 2, and then vice versa. Division 14, 1 will play Division 13, number 2. Because some of us will argue, well, our league or our division is tougher than your division. I think our second-place team can beat your number 1 team. Well, that's the opportunity to do that. And that also gives each person that won their division an opportunity to host a home game. You know, because some people's argument would be, well, you got 16 division winners, but what if everybody's undefeated? How are you going to determine who's the home team? Is it going to be a coin flip or whatever, whatever, whatever? But I think because you won your division, you earn, that's your earning to have a home game. But, again, nothing's in concrete, nothing's in stone. Again, right now divisions are set. Some free schedules have been placed out. You know, just want to get approval from the owners and make sure that everything is okay. And that's what we're going through. It's no rush. It's no rush. But, again, there's some things that can always be tweaked. Ain't nothing perfect. And I always say that all the time. Ain't nothing perfect. You can't satisfy everybody. You're not going to satisfy all 64 teams or 54 teams or 96 teams or whatever, or even 12 teams. There's always going to be somebody bitching and complaining. It's just a matter of, okay, let's get it rolling and let's get it going. If you have your say and people heard you and they don't agree, then let's move on. You know, if they heard you and they want to change their mind, then let's change our mind and move on. So, again, you can see that, you know, we are moving towards that one nation, one look, one whatever. You know, again, there's some argument that there's going to be 80 to nothing blowouts. Guess what? It's going to be 80 to nothing blowouts anywhere, anyhow, when you got poor coaching. So, again, I'm challenging every team out there, step your coaching up. Step your coaching up. You're only as good as your coaches. You can have the best players on the team. You can have the best players on the team. And if the coaching ain't no good, you won't win. You know? So, again, you know, again, should we go 16? Should we go 32? Whatever the decision is going to be, and we got to fight for it. That's what it's all about. That's football teaching. It's a fight. You're not going to win every battle, but you ultimately want to win the war, you know, when you go into the game. You know, the battle with every play, you're not going to win every battle, but the ultimate outcome is to win the war. So whatever we have lined up in front of us, if we got to be the best out of our division, then we got to be the best to play. You know, no crying, no bitching about it. You win and let everything else take care of itself. And I'm loving it. I'm loving it. It raises the competition. It raises the level of coaching that each team has to coach. I'm looking forward to the season. And like I said, I'm not out here bragging, you know, about who's the best league. And that's some of the things that a lot of people have always talked about over the last 4 years. Oh, because we got this team, we're the best league. No. The league is only as good as its teams. The teams are only as good as the players. And the players are only as good as the coaches. So it's not about boasting and bragging about who got the best league. It's whatever league you win, the level of competition. Are you playing up to the level of competition? Or are you playing down to the level of competition? And I know the coaches here on the West Coast, we talk all the time. And it's all about competition to us. You know, it really is. It's not about complaining about, oh, I only got 20, or, you know, or I only got this, or you got a bigger city than me. No. You work with what you have and make the best of what you got and make do. That's what it's all about. You know, there's no excuse. You know, San Diego got 3 teams. So what? Vegas got 3 teams. Well, if you put all the best players on one team, you'll be a dynasty. Well, that's not true. All the best players in Vegas can't be on the same team because this wouldn't get along. It's like a TNT keg. Eventually, that shit's going to blow up. Oops, I cursed. I'm sorry about that. But that just let me go. You know, it is going to pan out in the long run. Again, challenge yourself as coaches. Challenge yourself as players. Challenge yourself as an organization to get better. Compete all the way across the board with the best. Again, I always use myself as an example. When I first started in 2006, I wanted to play the best. I wanted to play the Houston Energy. I wanted to see what a championship team looked like in women's football. I wanted to see what a championship organization looked like. I envied the Dallas Diamonds because they were top-notch from top to bottom. Now, personally, I might not have liked them, and they might not like me, but I'm envious, and I built my organization based off of what I saw. That's how we got to where we are, you know? And that's what teams that are having not so good of years, find out who the best teams are. Find out what do they do. Find out how do they practice. How often do they practice. Find out how much do they charge to play on the team, you know? Find out a whole bunch of things. You got to seek the knowledge. And, again, that goes back to the camping conference. Why did the camping conference come about? It came about because of the lack of knowledge of all the people involved in women's football, from the players to the coaches to the owners. That was the reason behind the Cap'n Conference. It wasn't a Deion Lee boasting, bragging about how good he is. I just speak as an opening act and in between and introduce people. But it ain't about me. People ask me, well, you're teaching them the spread out and offense. I ain't teaching them that. No, we teach the fundamentals at the camp. We're teaching how to be a better linebacker. We're teaching you how to be a better quarterback, a better running back, a better lineman, a better D lineman, a better linebacker, a better kicker, better DB. Because if you're better, you make your team better. If your team is better, then you'll get better results at the end. And that's what it's all about. Bottom line is the result in the end. So, again, that is my little sneak preview of the WFA. Again, I'm looking forward to the challenge, what's taking place, what's going on. I don't know if more teams are coming in. I don't know if teams are leaving. You know, but that's up to them. That's an organization decision to come or go. You know, just like a player. You come and go play on another team. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, I want options. Well, you got options now. I mean, you made your choice. Now you know where you make up your bed at. That's fine. But at the end, if that bed ain't as soft as your other bed or as good as your other bed or you ain't sleeping as good in that bed as you were in your other one, then you made that choice. You made that bad choice. So, again, yeah, options are great, and that's why we got different leagues and there's options to get in them. I know there's league rules now that are being amended. I think the WSFL has amended their rules to 12-minute quarters, 4 timeouts, and pretty much going with high school rules. Well, that's great, because again, the abundance of referees that know the high school rules are a lot more than those who know NFL rules, and I understand that. I know that the IWFL pretty much run off of college rules with some amendments to it, you know. And the WFA, we use the NFL rules with some amendments. It's fine. Football is football. But to each their own, and that's great. Options are great, you know. Nothing wrong with that. Having another team in your market could be great. Hold on. All right, I'm still trying to get over cold for the last 3.5 weeks, man. As you get older, I guess your immune system just don't work as fast as it used to when you were young. I need some more brandy and hot tea. I need to hit that every night. Maybe that'll knock this cold out of my chest. But anyway, y'all, you know what? It's time to be flying when you're having fun. It's 4 quarters of Coach Lee. We rocking in the first quarter still. And I got to throw this out for my girl JK because she likes that. Quarter number one is now over. So let's move on. Camp and conference. Hey, the camp is going on. People are signing up left and right. And again, the goal is not to get everybody into the camp because we just don't have enough room. We have 300 slots available. Are we going to get to 300? I don't think so. But we are over the 100 mark. People that have paid. And that's a great camp in itself right there. I can cut it off right now. You know, we got approximately, I think it's 12 linemen, I think 20 running backs, at least 20 receivers. I know we got a lot of linebackers. I don't have the exact numbers by position. But the goal of this thing is that to get 4 players from each team. 2 defensive players and 2 offensive players to come to the camp and then to share a room. And I'll just show you quickly how much it would actually cost a player, okay? Outside of your plane ticket, I wouldn't know because I don't know where you're coming from. But you pay your $100, okay? There's 4 of you guys. There's 4 nights stay. Each person pays $69 per night. Each person pays $69 for the 4 nights, okay? So you're looking at $175 that it costs you to come to Vegas. And then you need to allocate anywhere probably about $15 to $20, $25 on eating per day. But we do have buffets here, so you can eat all you want. Okay? And plus, I'm working on some other sponsors to bring out lunch and stuff like that because we're going to be on the field all day through the night. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be football field to the classroom, to the football field, to the classroom, to the football field, and then go home. That's how it's going to work this year because everybody wants more time on the field. Okay? So you're looking at about a $200 cost for a team of 4 per person, you know, and that's not bad. That's outside of your plane ticket. I know last year I had a couple of players use my sponsor me the camp program, and all that was a sheet of paper that you put at your job and ask $20 from each person at your job to sponsor you to go play football. You know, and I can email that to you. Actually, I think it's on the Ning board, one of the topics. And I plumped that back up again and put that as a feature. But there's a will, there's a way to get to where you need to go. If you want to get better, you definitely need to come to the Women's Football Camp and Conference. For those that are within a 6-hour driving distance, you know what I'm saying, you don't have to pay to get here. You fill up the gas tank, split that 4 ways, and everybody spend 1.5 hours driving. It's that simple, you guys. It really is. You know, some people make it harder than what it is, but if you really want to get there, you'll do what you got to do. And like I said, I'm happy with what's going on. The camp is only getting bigger and better. Again, the question has, Coach, are you going to have a camp, you know, on the East Coast and the South and the North? And I can say yes and I can say no. I want to, but the demand has to be there. You know what I'm saying? It has to be there. You know, if we can't get 100 people to each camp, then it's not worth it. Because of the cost, getting there, getting the equipment, getting all this other stuff, you know, it just wouldn't be worth it. So right now, we just kept it in Vegas. One, because we have great weather, you know. High in January would be in the 60s, you know, while we out on the field. We don't get much rain, if any, during that time period. So it's just a little chilly. And, yeah, I'm all right. Hold on. Yes, sir. Say that again? Yes, but he's gone already. He's gone for the day. Probably about an hour ago. Yeah, you got it. All right. And, you know, there's no beautiful place than Vegas in the middle of January. I know up north you guys are snowed in. Back east you got storms going on. Down south it's icy and chilly. You know, the only other place would be California, L.A. But again, that can get expensive as well. You know, the flights to get into L.A. are a little bit more expensive than going to Vegas in some cases. But again, I'm all about not using excuses. Either I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it. And that's what it's all about. You know, the first year of the camping conference, we had a lot of people, we had the three leagues not agreeing that it should be a camping conference, and they didn't want us to talk as owners and players, which was stupid and dumb. You know, we out here promoting football, but we can't talk to each other. We can't share ideas on fundraising. We can't learn how to be a marketeer. We can't learn how to brand, you know, things that the leagues have promised in the past, you know, what they can and will do. You know, and that's from an owner's perspective. You know, as far as the coaches are concerned, you know, the coaches are too good to go learn how to coach football. That doesn't make sense. If you want to move up in the coaching, you know, hierarchy, you got to go to camps and clinics. You know, I think I talked to Coach Ring just earlier this week. You know, of all the people that we both know, I know a lot of top-notch coaches. Matter of fact, Marvin Lewis coached at Cal State University Long Beach when I was there, who's at the Cincinnati Bengals now. I'm not saying that he's the greatest coach, but I'm just saying, to get into the coaching business is who you know. It's what you know to keep yourself in the door. You know, everybody say, how can I get in the door? Well, it's who you know to get in the door. But it's what you know to stay in the door. And I thought that was a profound quote that Coach Mark Reen had talked about. And we just started laughing. We just started rattling off people's names, you know, Rocky Long. We're talking about the coaching staff with the Las Vegas locals that are going to be a part of this camping conference, you know, in all the experience and NFL experience and college experience and where he met such at this camping clinic, you know. Again, this is why I don't have excuses when I'm pit against the so-called best. That's a challenge to me to get on my game to get better. You know, as a football player, I went to camps to get better. You got to realize, I was 115 pounds, folks, in high school. One of the best DBs in the country at 115 pounds. It's not because I was born, you know. I didn't look like no football player at 115 pounds, 5'8", 115, you know. I had to learn the game, the knowledge, and get it from the best and be coached by the so-called best so that I can be out on the football field. And that's where we got to take this game. You know, the women's game got to go to the next level. And that goes from raising the level of the talent level, the talent pool, and the coaching. Ownership will come. But those are the two levels that need to go. You know, just like I said last week, I had some people hating, you know, because, you know, the Showgirls are featured on the NFL Network. Well, it was to promote women's football. Yes, there's better coaches out there. There's better teams that have more winning tradition, and there's definitely better players than Nikki Johnson. But it's not, that's not who always get the recognition. You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to get it how you get it. Matter of fact, a conversation tonight came about. I had got an email from Black Enterprise Magazine. For those that don't know, Black Enterprise Magazine, it is like the national top magazine. It's like Business Week for black folks, basically. It's a monthly publication. The editor of that particular magazine contacted me and wanted to do a story on black owners, male and females, in women's football. And so I put out a little information. You know, I just knew offhand certain amount of people that I knew that owned the team that were African-American descent, be it male or female. And I just wanted to see how many people are out there so that we can make this story a great story. And, of course, it's about football because, what, we're owners of a football team that happen to be, what, women. But a couple of people got a little offended about me asking that question. You know, putting a question out on the Ning board. That's what the Ning board is all about. It's about networking. You know, I don't know everybody. I don't know every team. As a matter of fact, I was very surprised that the New England Nightmare is owned by an African-American, believe it or not. I'm just shallow like that. I didn't know black folks lived in up where the snow is. You know, I'm laughing out loud at that. Of course I knew people live out there, but I just assumed that it wasn't owned by anyone of African-American descent, okay? But, again, some people got offended, and they try to make an argument out of everything, and they don't see the fact that it is an article about football. It is an article about women's football. It's the men and women that are behind the cause or the movement of women's football, as the editor had contacted me and wanted to know, you know, okay, well, I want to do a story. And, you know, we are business. We're not a sports magazine. We're not a women's magazine. So we want to talk about the business of sports, the business of women's football. And so in my general reply or in my announcement, I said, how many teams are out there that are black / African-American owned? I asked because I have a contact at a major black publication looking to do a story on women's football. I know of the following teams. So I went through and I listed everybody that I knew. And I didn't care what league you were in, WFA, IWFL, WSFL, okay? And I think I rattled off about 10. I got the Showgirls, the Amazons, the Dayton Diamonds, the Legacy, Zydeco, the Power, the Energy, the Sizzle, the Queens, and the Phoenix, and the Titans, and the Black Widows. Those are the ones that came off the top of my head that I knew of personally. I didn't know that the New England Nightmare, I didn't know that the Tennessee Valley Tigers, I didn't know that the Philadelphia Liberty Bells, and I didn't know the Columbus Comets until this was made. But I think I'm going off subject, but I don't care. I'm still in quarter number two. Who cares? I'm just rolling with this one tonight. So, again, some people who knew add those particular people, and I add them onto the list. And I'm asking if there's anybody else, because, again, I want this to be an opportunity for all that are to get some exposure for what? Women's football. You guys got to remember, I was in the music industry for 22 years. Any PR on an artist, good or bad, is good for the artist. I don't care if you got an artist that's breaking up with a wife or a husband. It's PR. It's putting them out there. I don't care if they went out and fed turkeys to the homeless. It's good PR. It's good information. You know, I don't care if they went to jail, which a lot of the artists that I work with went. It got print, free media, okay? That's how you got to look at this thing. It's not a derogatory situation. But we had Douglas Franklin who said, why isn't the article being done on women's football in general? Separatism breeds racism. To what benefit to mankind, black people in general, or women's football, is this article going to provide? Again, it's going to provide exposure to women's football, to people who are behind the grit and grind of the game, okay? There's a lot of people that don't know about women's football. There's a lot of black-owned businesses across the nation that don't even know that women's football exists. You're opening up to another market, you guys. It's not about racism. It's not about separatism. It's about getting exposure to other people, okay? I responded back. I said, because it's not a sports mag, it's not a women's mag, it's a national black business magazine that wants to know how many football teams are owned by black businessmen and women. Any press is good press for women's football. You know, no different than the ESPN situation with Nikki Johnson. When talking with them, I told them, I don't want this to be a comical thing of women's football. I want it to be a story about women's football, the future of women's football. Again, it's guidance. It's guidance. Again, when I do news stories here, if you go on my website, Channel 8 did a hell of a story about us in women's football. It wasn't comical like if you go down to the bottom of my page, and we're on the morning show, you know, at 5 in the morning, and the the reporter wants to make it, you know, comical and fun, but it wasn't really pushing football. You know, she's doing a karate kick. She wanted us to stand up and be a triangle or a pyramid like cheerleaders. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. But, you know, we're getting exposure. But was that the proper exposure? No. So guess what? From then on out, I'm guiding the exposure that we're going to get, as long as it's promoting women's football, not making a comical situation with women's football. So again, if we want to be treated as good businessmen and women, and you got a business magazine that wants to come and do an article about the business of women's football, who happen to be a black publication, then guess what? Let it be. There's more than what else is going on out there. You know, there's no different than someone getting from the gay community wanting to do an article on a player or a coach or owner, you know, because that's a target market. Again, you have to understand marketing. It's okay. You know, if a Jewish magazine wanted to come out there and do an article about a Jewish player, there's no problem. Women's football is still going to be promoted within that article.
Attention, all operations will be closing in 10 minutes. All operations will be closing in 10 minutes.
Thank you. Hey, did it Rose people come in today?
No, they come in.
Okay. Yeah, I thought today was Wednesday. Okay. So, again, you know, understand what's going on. It is promoting women's football. It's just a different market. You know, it's just like rock music. You don't see rockers, you know, what they are now. It's crossing over now is what it's called. But go back years ago, you know, nobody wanted to hear rap, you know. That was a black thing. That's a New York thing. That's a Queens thing, you know what I'm saying? Or that's, you know, you had gangster rap. Or that's on the East Coast, West Coast, whatever, whatever. You know, it's different markets. You tap into them, then you cross over. The major artists that's selling, like Justin Bieber, baby. Baby, baby, oh, that's a crossover. Why? Because he has his crowd, the young teens. He has the white crowd, young teens, and he got the black crowd, young teens. Why? Because he got Usher behind him. You got to understand that. That's called crossover promotions. So, again, it's not separatism. It's not racism. It's getting full surge of what you're doing and promoting out there. So again, I don't agree with everybody, but sometimes you got to make sense out of what's being said and what's being done, you know. And some people are haters, you know. And I forgot what the acronym for hater was. I saw that today. That was so funny to me. Somebody put the acronym for hater up there. It was so funny. I think I'm gonna come across it. But you know, just because you're not included, then you don't agree with it, you know. And you know, and some say that about me. Well, Dion, you weren't included in the Super 16. Well, I said my piece prior to. If I am or am not in the Super 16, I wouldn't be happy because I don't like to be either divided amongst any leaders and just an average. Either you are or you're not, and it should be proven on the football field. That's my take all the time. So, again, you know, we got haters out there. We got people out there who just don't understand what it takes, you know, to really push a movement. And it's going to take all fronts, whatever community you're in, whatever nationality you are, you got to push it, you know. If you got an Asian-American on your team, then you definitely want to go to the Asian-American community and promote. If you got, you know, Mexican-American on your team, you need to go to the Mexican-American community and what? Promote. If, you know, the Latin station want to come, the Spanish-speaking station want to come to your team, it's best that you have Spanish-speaking players on your team so they can communicate what you're trying to get across. So, again, that's my take on that. You know, it kind of got me going today, you know, because, again, people are so narrow-minded and don't see the big picture. And that's part of the issue with women's football. They don't see the big picture, you know. They just stay so focused on the little bitty micro intuitive of themselves instead of seeing at the macro, the world view, you know, and that's what women's football needed. I think outside the box. I promote outside the box, you know. That's why I do this show. That's why, you know, I work on the meme board. You know, need board is not me, it's you, it's all of us, adding information and input, you know. If it's something that I totally just don't agree with and I just don't like, I just don't say anything about it. I'm not going to sit there and argue about it. I say my piece and I move on. There's no need to spinning yourself in the mud, spinning your wheels in the mud. There's no need to do that. You know what I'm saying? Say your piece and move on. You know, you prove your point by writing it down, and then you move on. So, again, it's going to be a great year for football. It's going to be a great year for the camp. Again, go to womensfootballcamp.com. That's womensfootballcamp.com. Get your registration on, and let's roll. Again, all we're looking for is 2 to 4 players from each team to be there. If we did two to four players from each team, we should have a minimum of 200 players there and a maximum of 400 since there's 100 teams out there. It's open to all teams, all leagues. Don't be fooled, okay? Don't be fooled. It is open to all teams, all leagues, all divisions, all tiers. Am I missing anything? 6-man, 8-man, 11-man, 12-man football, arena football, flag football. It don't matter. If you want to be a better baller, then you need to be there. Again, I keep telling you guys I have more information as far as who's going to be coaching and stuff like that, but I got to confirm everything first before I throw it out there. But I don't care if I don't even get the superstar so-called ex-NFL coaches. We still have a great lineup of coaches that will be there, and they're going to be there anyway outside of the UFL coaches being there because, again, some of the NFL coaches out, and I'm not going to say some, I'm going to say all the NFL coaches have never coached women football. And sometimes they got to get an outlook from those coaches that have been involved in women's football so they can get the mentality and get things going. You know, I don't want somebody to treat you like a little daisy out there just because you're a female, you know. But I also don't want them to treat you like you know, they can yell at you and punk you around and push you around at the same time. So, it's all good, Coach Holmes. I see you. I'm brainstorming, too. You know, it's just about the best time to put a camp on due to the weather. Or if we can get an indoor facility, you know, because we play in the spring. This is the hardest part. We play in the spring when most of the coaches are available that coach football at a higher level. We're done in the summer. And once we're done, those coaches that are at a higher level are now into their season in coaching. And they're using up their facilities. So, you know, it's nothing wrong with starting a camp out there. Actually, we had a tour. Actually, I had a 10-city camp tour. But again, supply and demand. I can supply everything, and I can get everything done. But the demand ain't there. If your fans ain't coming to the concert, then there's no need to be on tour. So, again, the ladies got to take it serious. And like I said, you were part of the brainstorming. I mean, the brainstorming last year when we talked about this. But again, we had the situation where we had leagues that were dictating and telling people who they can and cannot work with. You know, once we get beyond that barrier, we can make this thing happen. And I think it should be one in at least 4 different regions so that everybody can have the opportunity to attend a camp within an 8-hour drive of the location. And I think we can do that. I think we can do that with 5 camps on back-to-back weekends from January to the first week of February. And I think it would be great. So, again, you got my number, 764-8878. You know that. And, there's definitely a lot of teams over there. Again, I'm all for it, and I've always been for it. So, let's go ahead and do that and work on that and get it done. And like I said, for me, I have plenty of sponsors, but we don't have enough demand for my sponsors to get excited about. I got Adidas that want to do stuff. I got Enterprise that want to do stuff. You know, that's who's sponsoring this show. But if you don't supply the numbers, if you don't get the numbers, then, you know, your sponsor is no good. So my whole thing is we can get it done, but we got to come together. And that's why originally the Las Vegas was the actual national camping conference where we were going to do the whole, you know, owners and coaches and everything else. And the other ones were going to be just the players. So it's not too hard to put together a camp for players. It ain't hard at all. That ain't nothing. Okay. So, again, let's come together. Let's do it. I'm all for it. You know, let's do it. That's me. Make it happen, Captain. Woo! I didn't realize how late it was. It's 5 minutes to 8 out here. So, you know, we're going to make this happen, you guys. I just want things to be successful, you know. And just like what everybody said, you know, let's make it successful, and then we can spin off of that success and breed other success in other areas and other places. Whenever you clock out, just let me know, and I'm good. I think that's it. I'm gonna get these folks out of here. Can you make the last announcement that we are closed? All right. So again, let's work together. I've always said let's do that. Let's work together. Again, let's not let the leagues dictate, as owners, as coaches, and as players, who we can and can't work out with or work out against. You know, I think there's a couple of teams out there that are having some jamborees, you know. Hey, it's just a scrimmage. It's football. You play with your ball, I play with my ball in a different league. We still got to learn how to tackle. We still got to know how to throw the ball, pitch the ball, do all that stuff. So, again, team up with the teams in your area. You know, at least have a scrimmage game. It would be nice to have a full-fledged game, but I think that we should all be able to scrimmage each other with no ifs, buts about it due to the fact that we're the owners of the teams. We're the coaches of the teams. We know what's best for our teams. It's not an ego thing. It's about getting better. And why should I have to drive 8 hours to go scrimmage a team and stay overnight when I got a team that's an hour away? Don't make no sense. Don't make no sense. But, you know, that's how women's football has been for the last 7 years. I know because I've been a part of it for 7 years. And like I said, I'm probably the one that everybody hates. Everybody loves to hate. You know, everybody hates Coach Lee for some reason or another. Am I arrogant? No, I'm just confident. Do I know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Do I make sense? Yeah. Do I make mistakes? Yeah. But you know what? I live another day. I live to fight another day, and that's what it's all about. So, again, make sure you get out there. Make sure you do what you got to do. Make sure your coaching is up to par. And make sure you register for the camping conference. You know what I'm saying? You got to do what you got to do if you want to be down. You know what I'm saying? Just like my girl Brandy. You want to be down? You need to be at the camp. You want to be All-American? You need to be at the camp. You want to be All-Purpose? You need to be at the camp. You want to win a championship? You need to be at the camp. You want to get better? You need to be at the camp. Do what you got to do to get to the camp. This is your boy, Coach Lee. I'm out of here. Hey, I know we only went through 2 quarters and all. I didn't take in no calls or anything because I just started talking. But I'm loving it. So I will hit you back. I'll be on the name board for about the next 20 minutes. And then I head home. Then I'll be back on the name board about 9:13. So if you want to hit me up, Women's Tackle Football Group.neem.com. Hit me on this in my inbox. You can hit me at Las Vegas Showgirls at yahoo.com. Hit me in my inbox. But I'm your boy, Coach Lee, and I'm out.
Not my fault that they're falling off. Known as fair and square.